everybody. This is the Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. This program is Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and mostly the topic is Tantra. So today is no exception. Tantra is a very vast set of experiences, practices, and an ancient science. And often I like to demystify Tantra in the beginning of the show with what I call my appetizer. And today, first I'll just greet you with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which means I greet you with peace. And then to let you know a little bit more about Tantra and demystification, this is really the Valentine's show. And so, you know, the question is, on Valentine's Day, do you have to have a Valentine? And you don't have to have a Valentine. As a matter of fact, some of you don't have Valentine. And people often wonder whether to practice Tantra, they have to have a partner. And my answer to that is always no, you do not have to have a partner to run your own sexual energy, your own sacred life force. You can run your energy with yourself, inside of yourself, and actually you should do that. And so, you know, when Valentine's Day rolls around, and if you don't have a partner, there's no reason to feel sad, because if you run your own energy, your own special sacred life force, your own sexual energy through your body on a regular basis, opening up your chakras, then you find yourself in a state of self-love, self-loving. So I invite you to be tantric no matter what. Sometimes people say to me, Laurie, I'm not going to come and take your bliss class until I have a partner. I have to have the appropriate partner. And, that's just bull. You don't need a partner. You shouldn't wait for any reason whatsoever. You should definitely not wait to get a partner to practice tantra. You should start practicing right away. And if you're looking for, I know people don't really make resolutions on Valentine's Day. They usually make them for New Year's. But, you know, we can cheat. We can say, look, make a resolution for yourself on Valentine's Day to fall so totally in love with yourself that you don't notice whether you have a partner or not. You're your own beloved. You're your sacred intimate. And when you become your own beloved and your sacred intimate, you don't feel lack. You don't feel loss if there isn't a special somebody in your life. And as a matter of fact, when you're your own beloved and somebody comes into your life, it's a gift rather than a filling up of some kind of an empty space or empty place inside yourself. So that's my appetizer for today. I invite you to become your own beloved for Valentine's. What a gift. And I have a very special guest today. She's coming to us from London, England. She's my dear friend and a sister tantrika. Her name is Kavita Ray. And I want to just tell you a little something about her before I get her on the show. And she is an author of a brand new book. We're going to talk all about that when she comes on. She's an author. She's a mother. She has two teenage boys who are amazing. She is a tantric practitioner. She actually sees people for tantra sessions in the UK. She's outside of London, actually. She's not exactly in London. She'll probably correct me when she comes on. She also has organized a tremendous network of tantra people in the UK and some other parts of Europe. And I've been the guest of her group a number of times. She's now so busy that she's had to turn that over, but she'll tell us some more about it. So she's a very avid tantra person, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show. Kavita, are you there?
Hi, Laurie.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm really good, yeah. I'm completely immersed in writing my second book.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, and it's calling for me to bring into my life every single thing that I know that I've ever learned about Tantra to keep myself sane.
Oh, that's such a perfect thing for people to hear. You know that Tantra really does keep you sane. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a very isolating thing to write a book. And I had no idea when I started my first one how completely alone I would be for so many days, for so many weeks and months. And I've had to learn how to cope with that because I'm a very touchy-feely person. I love to connect. I'm very sociable, as you know.
Yes.
And it's like, how can I keep myself juiced up, alive, healthy of mind and body while I'm spending hours in front of a computer screen?
So what a great point, because so many people do that, whether they're writing a book or not. And as I just said, you know, even so many people feel down on Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve or whenever if they don't have a partner.
And exactly.
The point you're making is so valid and so valuable for listeners to hear.
Yeah, now I don't have a primary partner at the moment. I'm busy falling in love with myself. I'm actually having a love affair with myself for the first time in my whole life.
Wow.
Because I've been with a partner. I've had partners back to back since I was 16. And I'm 45 now. And it's like I've been launched into singlehood, because after my last book, my relationship of 7 years ended. It came to a natural end. And for the last year, I've been exploring, or 8 months, I've been exploring what it is to be in relationship with myself as my own lover.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you sound pretty good for it.
I am so good. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life, actually.
Kavita, that is a blessing. That's just simply wonderful. Well, let's get to the secret of this, okay? Shall we? Tell us the name of your first book, which just got released. And you're writing a second book already. So tell us the first book, the name of the first book.
Okay, the name of the first book is Tantric Sex.
Okay, and it's by you, Kavita
Ray. It's by me, and it's published by Dorling Kindersley, and it's out in the States and in England right now. It's not just about sex. It's about a tantric lifestyle, and it's about how to practice tantra alone as well as with a partner. It's got a lot of interesting information in there about physical well-being, emotional well-being. It's a really interesting book, I think.
Well, it's also a beautiful book because I was privileged enough to see you. You had one copy when I was last in England not too long ago, and you had one copy that I actually could look at, and it's a very beautiful hardbound, hardcover book, very lovely. So people can order it on Amazon. It's called Tantric Sex. Let me spell your name so that people know when they're looking, because there are a lot of tantra books out there. So if you're looking for Kavita's book, it's Kavita, K-A-V-I-D-A, Rei, R-E-I. So she's the author of the book. She's my guest today. And you can go to her website also, which is KavitaRei.com, and you can find out more about her.
I'm very excited about my new website, which I built between the last book and this book.
Wow. You're just such a go-getter. This is wonderful. What's the name of the second book?
The name of the second book is Erotic Massage.
Oh, nice.
So I'm bringing in Tantra into that book, and also BDSM and the world of fetish, which I'm quite passionate about myself.
Yes. You know, and I had another show, just for the listeners, some of them may have heard the show. I had a show on Tantra and BDSM a while back, and my guest was Barbara Corellis, who also has written a book called Urban Tantra. And she just made a great case like that. We're not going to go there so much on this show today, but if people are interested, and if we want to, we can always do another show together. You know, so your book is about sensation, really, it sounds.
It's about sensation, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, let's backtrack a little bit and tell the listeners how, in fact, you got interested in Tantra to begin with. Like, what?
Okay.
You know, how did this start?
Well, I've been doing massage for 17 years. I trained as a masseuse in England when my first son was 2 years old. And a few years into my practice, running my practice, clients were saying to me, can't you do tantric massage? There's this amazing woman in London. And I didn't know I hadn't heard of tantra. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I went to investigate, and I went for a session with this amazing woman called Leora Lightwoman. And,
Leora.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So she gave me a session of breathing, chakras, and I was really blown away. And At the time, I was going out with a guy who was not interested in Tantra. So eventually, when we broke up, the first thing I did was to go on a Tantra weekend with Leora, and it really opened me up. It was absolutely mind-blowing that weekend. It shifted everything for me. It just brought everything into focus, and it made me see that everything I thought I knew about relating to men was not so. It was like everything was turned upside down for me. And so after that, I went exploring more, and I found my teacher, Sarita, who I've actually been studying with for 10 years now.
So we'll come to Sarita in a minute, because Sarita also does some amazing, amazing work. But give us an example, like when you say it turned everything upside down, what you thought you knew about men. So before Tantra, what did you think you knew about men? You know, just one example maybe, and then
what did you learn? I did a lot of compensating. There was like a power play going on all the time with me. In my marriage, I was married to a very strong, charismatic New York man, very large personality, and we fought a lot in our marriage, I have to say. And it was because I was trying to match his power, his masculine power. Uh-huh. And what I learned in Tantra, the more I soften as a woman, the more I access my feminine essence, then the more I would be in touch with true female power.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. So, yeah, I imagine that tipped you right on your head. Did it make you think that you should give it a go again with your ex-husband?
No, it was, I'm very much of the belief that things have a beginning, a middle, and an end, that stories are told and they have a natural end. And life, for me, has moved on always at a terrific pace. I can't believe how many huge shifts have happened in my own life. And as I grow older, I embrace those changes a lot more easily. I welcome the changes.
Great. So you didn't have any regrets. You just moved forward with your new awareness.
No, I mean, a couple of times I thought if we'd known this, we would have probably stayed together forever.
Yeah.
But that's if, you know, and I don't live my life by if anymore.
Yeah, I got it. It's very, very smart. So, okay, so you discovered that with Leora, and then you went looking around, and how did you find Sarita?
Well, it was amazing. In the space of 1 month, I heard her name about three times, three different sources. And I thought, oh, I have to check this woman out. So I went to do a weekend with Sarita Ngeho, who was her partner at the time. And that was really like such an exciting discovery. Sarita, for me, well, our relationship has transformed over the years because, of course, we've got closer and closer. We're friends now. We're like sisters. But she is still my teacher, you know. Like sometimes she has a look in her eye and I go very quiet and I listen to every word she's saying to me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting flowing dynamic between us. But she's been an incredible teacher for me because she is so, so accepting and of who I am in my fullness, every aspect of myself. She just keeps on loving me. And I've been allowed to expand in the face of her love and acceptance.
Yeah, beautiful. What a great description of a teacher. Someone who loves and accepts you and enables you to expand.
Yeah, and pushes you also to reach your full potential because, you know, she can be very ruthless with me. She's been known to hammer me over the head a few times.
That's good. I'm sure at the time she hammered you, you needed the hammering, you know.
Totally.
A good teacher is somebody who can really see what the student needs, what the student is calling for, and also know how to direct that energy. So that's perfect. Well, so then when did you make the shift, or was it gradual, from doing the massage you were doing? What were you doing, like regular Swedish massage?
Yeah, Swedish massage. That was very interesting. It was a very slow, organic process, how I began to bring more and more Tantra into my work, because it came as a result of doing so many workshops with Sarita. I mean, there was a couple of years there where I was doing 5 or 6 residential workshops a year.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and it was my whole life. So naturally, my work just organically transformed into the shape that it's taken now, which is a whole combination of counseling, meditations, rituals, exercises, body work. I work with men, I work with women, and I work with couples. And the work is so broad, it just touches so many aspects of life.
And you work with, pretty much you have like an individual practice.
I love to work like that, individually. It's really my greatest joy. I feel that I can really impact somebody's life that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have people who come to see you over and over again, like you're the regular person that they see.
Absolutely. They consider me their therapist. What I love about Tantra is it's very much a heart path. And so I can just work with as much love as I'm feeling. And it's like I don't have to be embarrassed as a tantric guide to demonstrate in the moment how much love I'm actually feeling for my clients when they're here. Pure love, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you something. I mean, it's very different what you describe a certain way is very different in the UK than it is in the US.
Mm.
You really are coming from heart-based. My experience of you is different. It's not to say anything is wrong in the US. It's just to say that it's different. That take place in the US are pretty much illegal. Even though people, you know, are working from their hearts, they are working from love and whatever, the U.S. is so stringent and puritanical, and that is who came here first, the Puritans.
Yes.
You got rid of them and you sent them to us.
Yeah. There's an amazing Tantra community in England. The schools here are so supportive of each other, and Tantra is growing at an incredible rate here in England.
Well, I remember when I did an event for you. We'll say this just before we go on break. I remember when I came to you and did an event at your organization at the time, Tantra Link, and then we had a lot of people. I don't know, we had like almost 40 people in the room, I think.
Yeah.
And I was doing a body han with them, and then when we got back into the circle after the experience to share, people were like, well, how come we have our clothes on? Why do we have our clothes on for so long? And I said, because of the uptight American. And they looked at me and they were like, you? And I said, yeah, in America, we don't do this kind of thing with our clothes off. People would be too embarrassed in a group of 40 people to just do this experience. And I remember that couple, I can't think of their names right now, but I remember them saying, oh, we wouldn't have any problem with that. We would have our clothes off already, at least an hour ago, you know.
But I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I think that all Tantra workshops in England you have to get naked for.
Well, not the ones I come and do. No, I know you don't. I know you don't. But I thought it was an interesting commentary, and I often tell people that, you know, when I'm teaching in the States, I often say, you know, when I was in England, they asked me this, and this is an amazing just kind of commentary about how uptight Americans are.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have sex on Tantra workshops in England. We get naked a lot. We do massage, but sex isn't happening. And I think, you know, in the States, maybe people associate nudity with sexual activity.
Well, in the States, everything is associated with sexual activity. If people go on their computer, it's associated with sexual activity. If they drive a certain car, it's associated with, you know, that's the problem in America. Everything is so, well, now I don't even want us to go off on politics, but in America, people are pretty repressed, thinking that they're not.
Yeah.
You know, like there's an illusion that they're not, that they're somehow sexually expressed, but they're not. If they were, they wouldn't be on the computer having so much computer sex. They'd actually be having wonderful sex with their partners or with themselves or whatever.
Mm.
But we'll pick up on that or on other things when we come back. We're going to just take a break now. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm your host, Laurie Handlers. You can reach me at butterflyworkshops.com if you have any questions about myself or my guest. My guest today is Kavita Ray. She's coming to us from the UK today. She's a Tantra teacher, an author, a Tantra practitioner, a mother of two. She is amazing, and we'll be right back.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
I'm Lori Handler, host of Tantra Cafe, and this year I'm inviting you to join me on an adventure tour in the Himalayas. Listen to what's in store. First, you'll see the Taj Mahal, because I wouldn't bring you all the way to India and not have you experience this wonder of the world. Then you'll travel to the foothills, experiencing Hindu prayer and rituals on the banks of the Ganges in Rishikesh, the self-proclaimed yoga capital of the world. Next, you'll explore the temples and evening rituals of Haridwar, a famous Hindu pilgrimage spot. Then you'll visit Dharamsala, home of the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government in exile. Here, you'll have a chance to visit Buddhist monasteries and the Maklad Ganj Bazaar. But the most adventuresome part really begins when you jeep the world's first and second highest motorable highways. The views are breathtaking and spectacular as the tour makes its way to some of the world's highest places. Sarchu, Hemis, Shay, Leh, and Hunder, where you'll enjoy a ride on a two-hump camel. This trip is only for the physically fit. Please call me at 202-686-7440 or email me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. You don't want to miss this amazing opportunity. It's an adventure. The Himalayas await you. Hi, everyone. We're back. Thank you for staying tuned. I'm Lori Handlers. I'm back with you with Tantra Cafe, and my guest today is Kavita Ray. She's from the UK, and she's telling us about her new book called Tantric Sex, which you can order on Amazon.com. And we're free flowing. We're talking about politics. We're talking about America versus the UK, all kinds of things. So Kavita, you know, we were talking about your practice and the people who come to see you. And so it's been, how many years would you say have you been practicing Tantra, and it's kind of gone into your practice with your clients?
I would say about 8 years now.
About 8 years. Mm. Okay, good. Very, very good. And then
I absolutely love my work. I really want to say that I work with the most extraordinary people. Everybody who comes to me is just an incredible human being. They're so willing to be really looking deeply into themselves and taking risks. And, you know, it's challenging work that I do. You know, I'm not just giving somebody a nice body rub with oil. I'm really challenging people to really, like, look at their whole lives.
And what kinds of things, what would you say that they come up with? They start looking at their whole life, and what, you know, if a listener was making an appointment with you, like, what could they expect they'd start looking at?
Well, the last year or two, I've been working a lot more with women, single women, and they come to me for yoni healing. And we do goddess work together, and they are looking at the woundings that they've had through their life history, their sexual history, and they're clearing those wounds, enabling them to free up so that they can find a decent partner or improve their love relationship. It's very, very powerful work, and it's really affecting women's lives very, very positively. I'm really blown away by that work.
That's it. Now, let me just go back, because in case some of our listeners who are listening are not tantric, they don't know what yoni healing is. So do you want to speak about it? I can say yoni. What the name for vagina in Sanskrit is yoni, and we use the Sanskrit terms for our genitals, sex organs, in Tantra because they don't have any kind of bad connotations associated with them. They don't have baggage. If you notice, I don't know in the UK, but in the US, when we call someone a name and we're swearing at them, like as if to curse them out, we usually use our genitals to call them that. So so in Tantra, we give people the Sanskrit words yoni and lingam, mm-hmm. so that they can get over the baggage of cursing people out with a body part.
Yeah, so one of the beautiful definitions of yoni is cave of wonder. I really love that definition.
Yeah, so it is.
and so it is. And what I do is I take women inside their own cave of wonder. It's like a shamanic journey, really. And they really discover a whole world in there. They discover a lot of wisdom in there.
So, what kind of changes would a woman seeing you go through? Like, let's say she sees you, I don't know, five times. I don't know how often the people see you. They might see you once a week. And if they do, like, what are some of the things that, tell us, like, a success story. Don't tell us the name, of course.
Sure.
But tell us a success story.
Well, I would definitely work with emotional relief with women who are kind of bound up or stifled with their sexuality, because it's usually that is sitting on their full expression of their sexuality. So I would be working with their emotional life as well as their physical body, you know. And when women have cathartically released pent up emotion, what is under there is incredible sexual charge.
Mm.
That is released, and that is the most creative force of all. So what I've seen is women stepping out, back out into their lives with a creative enthusiasm.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Well, yeah, people, in case people don't realize it, our sexual energy is really our creative energy. It's everything. If you write poetry, that's your sexual energy. If you paint, that's your sexual energy. If you repair cars, that's your sexual energy. Like whatever it is that you do, the creative force in all of us is our sexual energy. But a lot of people don't understand that because sex has gotten separated.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd love to write a book, How to Live a Sexy Life, because I feel that my life is becoming more and more sexy in a much broader sense of the word, sexiness, you know. It's like every day I make sure that I walk in nature, I dance, I do my stretching, and I move my body every single day because I know that that will get my creative juices flowing much better for writing.
Beautiful. That's great. That's a great tip anyway for anybody. But in the realm of the senses, you know, walking in nature, stretching the body, et cetera, feeling the sensations, in that realm, it's so vital and important for us. And so many people don't do that. They're like couch potatoes.
Totally. I do it every single day without fail.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So you become a great role model, not only for other women, but for all your clients and anybody who's in contact with you. And I personally know how much fun you are.
Thank you. We do have a lot of fun.
We really do. I love being there. I love visiting you. And I have had one of your sessions and it was wonderful. I had a blockage. I felt in my power at the time. The session was lovely. And I know that you're following like a Lati Han when you do it. It's not like you have a prescribed notion of how every single session is going to go.
Oh, absolutely. I work purely by intuition, very much in the moment. I feel like it sounds a bit woo-woo, but like I'm channeling.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not really me. It's not coming from my mind. It's not an intellectual thing that's happening, it's very much I'm stepping out of the way and the work is coming through into the space.
I think that's, you know, I think it's a great way to look at it. And it, I mean, for this subject, it isn't too woo-woo. I mean, the whole idea of balancing the feminine polarities in our bodies with the masculine polarities allows a lot more intuition to come through. Mm-hmm. So obviously you've enabled it so that you really at will can get out of your way, meaning your ego. For the, you know, if people are unfamiliar with what we're talking about, I mean, Kavita's referring to getting her ego out of the way. So that her, she can do her life's work. She can fulfill her life's purpose, which is to free people.
Yeah, Tantra has brought a great humility to me. When I say humility, it's like I kind of kneel down and worship at the foot of life itself.
Mm.
You know, I'm allowing life to, it's like I'm surfing the tide of life instead of resisting the flow of life. And I'm in awe, every day I'm in awe of how life carries me.
So it's beautiful. I mean, you sound truly enlightened. I mean, you know.
Ah, do I?
Yes.
Maybe I am.
Yes, you are. You are. You live as a Buddha. You definitely do. There's no question about it. The whole way that you live. Now, speaking of that, how was it for your boys? Now, you have two teenage boys. You started practicing Tantra when the oldest was two, yeah? Or the youngest was two.
Yeah, the youngest was two.
It's
been challenging for them at times. When they were younger, they were very embarrassed by their mother. But then what kid isn't embarrassed by their mother?
Right.
Yeah, they didn't want to bring friends home from school for tea, stuff like that.
Because you had books, you had Tantra sex books around and things. You had
paper. Yeah.
But now they're teenagers. How old are the boys?
They are 14 and 19, believe it or not.
Wow. So they, so they're okay now with you?
They are so proud of me. It's amazing.
Wow.
And I'll tell you an interesting story. When Ruben was doing his week of sex education classes at school, he's the youngest one, the teacher called me and said, my goodness, your son is so forthright and direct in the class and loves to answer all the questions and lead all the conversations. And when she went up to him after the class and said, you're so confident in this subject, he said, well, my mum's a tantric sex therapist.
Wow. You know, like that would never happen in the States. I'm sorry to say it. That just wouldn't happen here. People who are people who practice Tantra here, many of them hide it from their children. They don't tell them because of like what, because they're afraid of what kids in school would think or the parents would think, the kids in school's parents. I mean, it's just, it's very hidden. So it's wonderful that your boy could be so self-expressed and that he could just say that about you right out in school and it would be fine.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, and they've been very supportive of me with the book. And the day that it came to my house, we went out to celebrate, all of us, the two boys, my mother and myself, and we were celebrating the birth of my tantric sex book.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Well, if anyone's listening who's a tantra practitioner who hasn't told their children what they do, I eat your heart out. Move to England. Do something. Kavita's definitely got the, it's miraculous. It's just, it's wonderful. You're in the right place at the right time and it's working. It's worked for your family, which is just wonderful. Well, we're just going to take a little break now and then we'll come back and, talk about some of the other topics that you mentioned before.
Yeah.
So if you've just tuned in and you're first listening to the show, you're wondering who my lovely guest is. Her name is Kavita Ray, and she's visiting on the show from outside of London in the UK. She's a dear friend of mine. She's a wonderful tantric practitioner. And this is Laurie Handlers. We're listening to Tantra Cafe. Please stay tuned.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend, Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
That piece of music, the music's name is Valentine Love. I'm playing that in honor of Valentine's Day, and it's an old favorite of mine. It's by jazz greats Gene Carnes and Michael Henderson, who are very well-known jazz singers, and it's on the Norman Connors and Friends CD. Norman Connors is one of my favorite all-time jazz people. He's most noted for his single You Are My Starship. Anyway, I love that Valentine song, and so I'm playing that in honor of Kavita being her own Valentine and me being my own Valentine on the Valentine's show. So we're back with Kavita Ray. And Kavita, you know, before you were talking about things you are a great fan of. You said you're a great fan of BDSM and other forms of, I guess, sexual play that get incorporated into your tantric life. Anything you want to tell us about that at all? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like to play with that dynamic of sub-dom, and the more into tantra I get, the more I enjoy personally stepping into my completely submissive role. And I have a partner, a playmate, and we play in that realm together very beautifully. And we actually don't have penetrative sex at all, but we play in the arena of dominant and submissive. And he's a natural dom and a very loving dom. He's a very tantric man, actually. And because I'm so controlled, because I'm just doing so much in my life all the time and have to make so many decisions every day of my life, for me to let go and surrender and be in that space of no choice, obviously, ultimately, the submissive does have a choice because you can just say a safe word and stop the proceedings. But, yeah, it's a game that I love to play because it's a great release for me. I find it very ritualistic, actually.
So, and this is because you're pretty much of a dominant person in your life. So you find some real tremendous feeling of different sensation, the opposite maybe.
The opposite, yeah. And that is Tantra, isn't it? Playing with the polar opposites and bringing the opposites together. And the marriage of those two energies in me, the more I allow both to be fully expressed, the more integrated I'm becoming as a woman.
Wow, I never looked at it like that before. I know when I was over there, not the last time, but maybe the time before when I was at the Dartmouth, I went to the Dartmouth Festival with you. And a lot of people were really, it seemed at the, at whatever the big holiday party was that people were having, people were really in kind of S&M, BDSM costuming. And I was surprised by that because in the States, if there was a Tantra party, people would dress more like Hindu goddesses and gods.
Yes.
And not so much in leather and lace or...
It was a lovely mixture, though, because it was half and half, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it seemed like there was quite a big concentration of that, and now I'm seeing what you, what you're talking about. Again, that in this country, that's seen as definitely the edge, like the raw edge, way out there.
It's for me, it's a game. It's a very playful activity, and I think in England we do treat it like that. I think we're a lot more kind of eccentric over here. Like we'll try a bit of this, a bit of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think here when people try a bit of this, a bit of that, there's labeling. Well, Kavita, thank you so much for explaining something about that to us stuffy Americans. you know, there are people from all over the world who listen to this show, so I can't just make it between the UK and the US. There are definitely people who have written to me from Australia, South Africa, all over who listen to the show. And people,
well, I'm hoping that my next book will be called BDSM for Beginners, and I'd really like to introduce it to more, you know, to the world at large.
Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck. So what else can you tell us about? There's some other things that you're very excited about, I think.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the dating site that I'm going to be launching this coming month, actually. It's called sensualspirit.com, and it's not live yet. And it's going to be a very beautiful dating site worldwide for people who are into Tantra and for people who are into meditation and yoga and nature and dancing and reading books by people like David Deda and Eckhart Tolle. Yeah, it's going to be for the sensual, the spiritual, and the sophisticated.
Wonderful. So you're launching it, you're building the site now, or it's almost completely built?
It's almost completely done, and it will within a couple of weeks or so, it will go live. And
so
it will be part of my KavitaRay.com site as well, so people can access it through there.
So you've got a lot going on. You have a book that just came out. You have a book that's going to come out, whether, you know, you're just diligently writing away, and now you have a dating site coming out. And
I have a music site, which I'm about to launch on the site as well, which will be a download website where people can actually download some of the music that I recommend in my last book, Tantric Sex, because there's about 45 meditations in my last book, and I recommend music tracks for every single one of them.
That's wonderful. You know, that's why I have music on this show. I usually play music on this show that goes with various rituals and things that I do in my courses.
Beautiful.
So I think it's wonderful. Yeah, people ask all the time, like, what is that? What music is it? And by the way, may I give a plug that I'm listed in your book as well?
Yes, because I love your book. And I give it to a lot of clients.
That's great. So if anybody's interested in my book, it's called Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. And it's really about what it is to be intimate with yourself and what it is to be intimate with another or others. You can have much more intimate relationships with people. And again, it's not necessarily about having sex with everyone. So that's great. Really, really great. So I love what you're up to. So much great stuff.
Thank you, Laurie.
Also, you're a musician. So
yes, I am.
So how can people hear some of your music? You're like a musician. You're like a musical comedy person.
Yeah, I do. I write comedy songs, and I perform them. I'm on MySpace. I've got a little MySpace. I don't do much with it. But on my new music site, on KavitaRay.com, I'm going to have my comedy songs and the meditation music that I compose with my musical partner, John Hall.
How wonderful. Wonderful. Well, luckily, I know these people. I know John is so wonderful also. Also a tantric.
Yeah.
And That's just great. I'm so excited for you. That's all I can say. I'm just so excited for all your production. And I know that it's all sexual energy that you're channeling into all these marvelous accomplishments.
Absolutely. No doubt.
So let's see. You know, we mentioned Leora. We mentioned Sarita. If people want to find them also, are they mentioned in your book?
Sarita definitely is. I actually dedicated the book to her, but tantralink.com has all the English tantra teachers listed there.
So if anybody's listening and they want more information, they can go to tantralink.com.
And we've got some fabulous festivals coming up in England. Dartmouth Festival had about 300 visitors this year.
Fantastic. Well, I think I'm going to make it this year. I'm not sure.
Yay!
I'll let them know as soon as I know, but I think I will be able to make it, so it'll be great.
Fantastic.
So we'll close. I feel like the show is fantastic. You've given people another way to look at what it is to be single. On Valentine's Day, on Valentine's week, you've given people a look at how to be empowered by their own energy, by circulating their own energy and doing tantric practices. You've given people a look at what it is to be a mother, having children, and being a tantric practitioner. And also a little bit of an eyeball into BDSM as a sacred ritualistic practice rather than something that's, you know, dark and wrong. So anything else you want to share with the listeners before we sign off?
No, I just want to say that it's a great privilege to be asked to come onto your show, Laurie, and I just so love the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I feel the same. The feeling is very mutual. I feel like you are my true sister in tantra and in energy. So, everybody, this has been my show with Kavita Rei, Kavidarei. You please go find her book, Tantric Sex, on Amazon.com. Or look her up at KavitaRei.com. You've been listening to Tantra Cafe on BBSRadio.com, and I so look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, and being with you again next week. So I'm saying namaste from Tantra Cafe.